The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Right on. Welcome back. Here is hour three of the Randy Corcoran Show. And yes, Matt Dunn in. We had a chance to say hello to Randy Corcoran in hour one, and he offered a few thoughts, preliminary thoughts, on what happened in Arizona yesterday. And I thought, you know, that was a three plus, was it 4 hours, maybe longer, of hearing yesterday in which, you know, they presented their case. The auditors presented their case, what they found, their findings. And, the media is running with this as, oh, you know, get ready for the onslaught there. But what I thought I would do is play some of the key audio, and I would say most of it yesterday. I was a little bit in and out, chasing my little four kids around. But in the end, 57,734 ballots in Maricopa County were found to have serious issues. And for the state of Arizona, Biden's margin was apparently 10,000 votes. And as I listen to these individuals speak, and they're just very mild-mannered, calm, technocrat kind of sounding people, I mean, I just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, there's so many ways that things can go sideways in an election. And, yeah, how challenging to document it all. But apparently the duplicate ballots that Dr. Shiva came across was not presented in that original leaked version of what they found. And that's like somewhere over 17,000 were duplicates, okay? And they tended to come in right after the election, the week after the election. You get some of these 17,000 duplicates come in Maricopa County. What's up with that? We'll go through that audio. Apparently, the system security upgrades they just didn't happen. And there was like one password for the whole system shared by everybody, so you can't tell who's going into the system, who's going out of the system. There was a bunch of stuff that got purged right before the audit started, all right? And they did document that there was quite a bit of remote access into the system. And so all kinds of stuff, it just makes your skin crawl. And then you get to watch the onslaught from the media. What great fun all that is. But let's just remember, you know, listen to what these people are saying here, all right? Listen to what they're saying and just focus on that and know that when you hear the mainstream media commentators on it, they didn't sit there and listen to that 3-4+ hours of conversation. I mean, they've got their narrative, and they're going to do their narrative no matter what. But let's hear some of this just so I can get some of this in context for those out in the 710 audience who may not have had a chance to get some of this, but I'd say, you know, look at it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Jenna Ellis is out there saying, read this for yourself. And here is Dr. Shiva, who's the MIT grad with all the degrees and everything, a brilliant guy. And here's what he had to say about the duplicate ballots.
What we did was we did further analysis on the blanks, the duplicates and the EVVRE. And this is what's interesting. So what we're plotting here is the duplicates as a function of the daily percentage of EVBs. So here's a signal. But what you see is suddenly this, what you may call a significant growth in percentage. In fact, in several of these days, there's 96% of the ballots that came in on two of these days are duplicates. So there was a serious number of duplicates. In fact, the area under this curve is close to 30%, 25-30%. Of the duplicates came in between November 4th to November 9th. And that motivated us to also, on the same plot, drop the blanks and the scribbles. And you see the same phenomenon there.
So there you go, Dr. Shiva. And the election was November 3rd. Okay, Tuesday, November 3rd. And then there's a surge in duplicates November 4th to 9th. And then I start wondering, okay, they knew how many they needed. So is that potentially something that happened here? And they're going to be looking into that, apparently. Senate President Karen Fann has referred several areas to look into to the AG of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, who, frankly, I don't have much respect for, looking at his track record over the past year or so. But we'll see. Okay, so there's some loose ends that are not going to be addressed fully yet, and that was not the scope of the mission of the auditors. Okay, about that purge the day before the audit started in February of 2021, I believe this is Ben Cotton, the sort of the computer tech analyst guy, Patriot veteran. Let's hear what he had to say about that.
On 2/1/2021, the SQL logs on the EMS indicate that the RTR admin account purged the general election results from the database on the EMS. Okay. Now, remember the lack of log retention at this point. We could not find any logged entry that corresponded to this activity, okay, from the security logs. Those Windows security logs only went back to the 5th, but everything was purged on the 1st of February. That's also right before the two audits commissioned by the county were due to commence. I believe they commenced on the 2nd of February. So once again, accountability of who had access to the RTR admin account when that password is actually shared among all of the accounts becomes extremely difficult. So who did it, right? Why did they do it? You would think that if you were doing an audit the next day, that you would want to have the full context of the election to be audited. But that clearly was not the case in this instance.
Sorry, just to clarify, so this is
Doug Logan here,
file specifically from results tallying and reporting, which is the Dominion software. That entry says that someone went into the program and clicked on something that said, I want to purge all the results for this election. That goes through and that deletes all of the records within it. And if you actually take a look, you can see the success. It's like the second line up, you know, that it completed successfully. And it literally deletes all of the files on the NAS directory as well, which is where all the results from the election are contained, where all the images from the election are contained, and all those other details. So some individual went into an application and they chose specifically to run something that would clear all records in the system that was used to generate the official results the day before an audit started.
And you heard the whistle from the crowd there, and that was Doug Logan, who I believe is the CEO of Cyber Ninjas, finishing up what that Ben Cotton started there. And so the day before the audit, all that stuff gets purged. And so are they hamstrung from the start? I mean, the resistance they met from the start, can they get the information they needed? Apparently not. It was purged. And the systems, were they secure or were they insecure? Well, Ben Cotton says they were totally insecure. Let's listen to this one. This is some key stuff here.
It really boils down to accountability, right? And making sure that our election systems are secured. I will tell you that they were not, based on any measure that I, as a IT professional, performing countless vulnerability assessments and incident responses, that I have occurred, had a client that engaged me, had this state of a network, it would have resulted in a failure on our audit. So at this point, I would like to remind people that from a totality of what these findings are, there simply is no accountability by anyone accessing these devices. You had shared passwords. You had shared user accounts. You had remote access. If someone could get access to this system, they wouldn't need a zero-day exploit. Okay. the systems were so far out of date from a security compliance standpoint that it would have taken the average kitty hacker less than 10 minutes using Metasploit to hack this system. Okay. And I would like to remind everyone that's listening to this that when you have a network of computers like you have in these voting systems, it only takes one person bringing in a little hockey puck with admin access to provide external remote access to that voting system. And in the situations where you don't have accountability, you have shared usernames, and you have shared passwords, you simply cannot guarantee the security and the accountability on those.
So is that reassuring to you, ladies and gentlemen? One password for everybody, shared user accounts, remote access, okay? Add that in there. And the purged materials, President Trump will be hosting a rally in Georgia tonight, going to be packed. And he said this, a statement yesterday, I will be discussing the winning results of the Arizona forensic audit, which will show 44,000 possibly illegal ballots cast in the great state of Georgia tomorrow, which will be packed. He said that. And he has quite a few statements about that and said, you know, the mainstream media is running with their spin and they're lying about it. Kelly Ward, who is the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, has called upon another audit to dig into the signature verification, which was not part of the original scope of what the Cyber Ninja audit was about. And so, yeah, the signature stuff, if you can't audit that, it's hard to get some of the numbers to square, right? Now, as far as the law about keeping the election materials, let's see what Ben Cotton had to say about that. There's a law. Was there a law broken here?
Let's talk a little bit about log management here. So there is a federal statute that requires the preservation of election-related materials for 22 months after the date of the election. That applies not only to paper, but that also applies to digital artifacts. Maricopa County failed to preserve the operating system security logs to cover the dates of the election. They provided security logs early in the audit process, but they did not provide the Windows security log itself. When we examined the EMS server, we found that the dates covered by the security log only went back as far as the 5th of February 2021. Now, there's a couple reasons for that, and we'll go into those later. But the bottom line is that they failed to preserve those logs, or at least those logs were not turned over to the auditors. And so I'm assuming, since they were part of the subpoena, that those should have been provided had they been present.
Okay. So they were part of the subpoena, but somehow were not provided. Okay, so is that reassuring to you? Ladies and gentlemen, I ask that question again. And why don't I play just one last clip here, and I'm trying to just kind of work in the ones that at least leaped out at me as the ones I think most relevant to discuss. And there's a bunch more out there that you'll be hearing about probably as the weekend goes on. But now, this is a state senator sitting right next to Senate President Karen Fan, and this is kind of offering a summary statement after everybody had presented their testimony, okay? And I couldn't find this guy's name. I dug and I dug and I dug, and no one ever posted this guy's name. Anyway, that was annoying, so I don't know who exactly this guy is, but he's one of the state senators in Arizona, and he talks about, hey, this is now going to be a matter for law enforcement in various ways, and let's just hear his summarium right here.
What are our next steps? Where do we go from here? And I think there's legislation, and I think there's law enforcement that needs to be involved. So I'm going to name off, eight bullet points here that I think need to be handled by my colleagues and by our Attorney General. First of all, and what I have found perhaps the most unsettling through this whole process is the obstruction that we have seen from the county. The failure to comply with the auditor, a brazen willingness to violate a legal subpoena. Our Attorney General said that was against the law. It's truly alarming. And furthermore, to their willingness to expend significant resources, human capital, you name it, to block and to stop this audit. As I recall, it was like $18,000 or something like that for one of their audits that they spent money on. How much money have they spent trying to stop our audit? It has to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that would be an interesting number to see. Number two, the numbers don't reconcile. As you've seen through, this is a theme throughout all the reports, all of us as citizens, we should be able to pull up these election results and we should be able to, every direction, reconcile the numbers. If I subtract, you know, early ballots, or if I subtract, or if I add the rejected, if I, you know, no matter which way, you should be able to come up with a reconciliation so that everything balances. That needs to happen. It appears that they broke the law with duplicate ballots. And that's a huge deal. That needs to be resolved. We need to get to the bottom of whether that law was broken, how to prevent it in the future, hold people accountable that did it this time. Churning of logs. The churning of logs. We need to find out why that happened.
Okay, and that's the first portion. And I found the name. That's Senator Peterson, State Senator Peterson from Arizona, who was saying that. And just to summarize his bullet points, yeah, there, he described the obstruction of the audit itself. He says the numbers do not reconcile. He says it appears they broke the law with the duplicate ballots. He says we need to hold people accountable for the mistakes. He says there are significant chain of custody issues. He says there was a failure to preserve data files. He identified cybersecurity weaknesses, and he said there were signatures missing on the envelopes. Okay, those are his bullet points from that statement there. All right, now, any thoughts out there? 303-696-1971. How are you taking what happened in Arizona and what the presentation was like yesterday? Did you hear some of it? Did you hear all of it? Did you hear none of it? And if you're on the phone lines, please hang on and let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran this morning, talking Arizona here just a little bit. Maricopa County audit. The presentation was yesterday. Jenna Ellis, a good, fine Colorado young woman, attorney for President Trump. And I've done some radio shows with her. She's been a fixture around 710 KNUS before she went off to Washington, D.C. She said this, quote, "There were significant and widespread irregularities and lawlessness in thousands of ballots sufficient to overcome the margin of difference between Trump and Biden. The 2020 election was irredeemably compromised, and Arizona's legislature must now do what they failed to do in November, use their plenary authority under the U.S. Constitution and reclaim their delegates by decertifying the results, acknowledging that the certifications were based on incorrect accounting. We are in a constitutional crisis that demands accountability for the American people and election justice." So Jenna Ellis, that's her commentary in an interview with John Solomon over at Just the News. And one thing I'll say before the phone lines, you know, CNN has an article. They come out and they say, "Donald Trump's effort to destroy confidence in America's elections." So a lawless president, he's destroying confidence in American elections. And tell you what, when I hear that, I just, my eyes just roll in that. For the last 4 years, for 4 years under Trump, you know what we had to listen to? Should we cue this up? The Rachel Maddow montage here. We listened to this for 4 years. Russia, Russia. It was the biggest thing on earth for 4 years, undermining confidence in the 2016 election. And yeah, here's just a little flashback to everything between 2016 and 2020.
Russia. Russia, Vladimir Putin, Russia, Russia. Russia, Russia hates Russia, 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 Putin, Russia's Russia, 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 Russian, 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 Russia, Russia, Moscow, Moscow, Russia, Russian, pro-Russian, Russian, Russia, Russian, 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 the Russians, Russian, 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 Russians, Russians, Russia, Russians, Russian, 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 Russia, Russian, 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 Russian.
Yep. We had 4 years of that, and now CNN says, oh, Donald Trump's effort to destroy confidence in America's elections. Give me a break. Give me a break, CNN. Yeah, you get the idea there, right? Okay, Jack in Wyoming, welcome to the program, and what thoughts from you today, sir?
Well, you already know what I'm going to say, and so does Randy, and I've been saying it for 6 months, and now we got Jenna Ellis saying it and a few other people saying it. But this election is totally in violation of USC 20701. The retention and preservation of the documents have to be maintained for 22 months after an election, and they have to be held in a specific order. There has to be a chain of custody established at the get-go. It has to be maintained all the way through the transfer of any of the documents. They are in violation of all of that. Now, if you'll just read that quote.
I'll tell you what. Hey, Jack. Your voice is popping in and out. Can you call us right back, and we might get a little different cell signal from you, but we can't quite hear what you're saying. So if you would, call us right back, and we'll get you right back in to the program, okay? So we're waiting for Jack to get back, and Jack, brilliant insights as always. Let's talk to Nancy. And Nancy, are you calling from Arizona?
I am.
Welcome.
You know who I am.
Oh,
I moved to Arizona.
Yes.
In March.
Yes.
I ran the elections for Arapahoe County.
Nancy Doty, it is so good to hear your voice. You're one of my favorite all-time people, just so you know. And I go out and visit with your dinner group from time to time and say hellos to everybody. But fascinating you could check in for a moment. But what thoughts are you having?
Well, because it's my background, and I was an auditor too, in addition to being the clerk and recorder, I was very interested in hearing the report yesterday. So I listened to all 3.5 hours, except for a few times when my computer cut out.
Yeah.
But I was shocked at the poorly run election in Maricopa County. So I started taking notes after I started listening. I was probably 15 minutes into it, and some of the things that came out were there were 9,041 people sent in more than one ballot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming they were counted. There were 1,551 excess votes, more than the number of people who voted.
Mm.
There were 397 ballots received but never sent. So, you know, they talk about 10 different types of paper used. The registration dates were changed. Changes to the voter record should be identified by who did it, and that was not recorded.
Exactly.
5,047 voters in more than one county. Votes in more than one county. Think about that. And 393 with incomplete names. They had 198 registered voters after the cutoff of October 15th. There were 282 potentially deceased voters, and 186 had duplicate voter IDs. That's just some of the stuff they brought up.
And this is just one county in Arizona,
yeah.
in which the state was a margin of 10 to 11,000, right?
Yes. And the first day I wasn't here, I voted in Colorado. But I followed this because I was very interested, you know, because of my background.
Well,
and
yeah.
I had wanted to get involved in the audit process here. But I came down with COVID, so I couldn't. But
oh, goodness. Okay.
But what I found out yesterday is that in order to be a volunteer or be involved with the audit, you had to have voted in Arizona last year. So you had a skin in the game. And, of course, I didn't meet that qualification, regardless of how I felt.
Sure.
So I think a lot of changes need to happen in Maricopa County, and it brings into question the results of the certification.
Well, yeah, the number I have here is 57,734 ballots that have serious issues. Okay, and I can only imagine what it's like for you, former Arapahoe County clerk and recorder, and I believe you've held some other elected positions, if I'm not mistaken. Have you held other positions, Nancy Doty?
Yeah, county commissioner here.
Yeah, yes, that's
Arapahoe
County commissioner. And so, yeah.
And I was the CFO for Bill Owens, too.
That's right. Yeah, I remember those days. But so, yeah, when you sit back and watch all of this yesterday, I mean, you've described some of the things that you took notes on, but did you, did your skin crawl a little bit, or, you know, how else could you characterize your take of what you saw yesterday?
Well, what's so irritating is that, and I've been here for the last 7 or 8 months, watching the media trash the audit process, and they know nothing about it. They didn't know how it's being conducted, and they continue to trash it when they haven't even looked at the results. They don't understand what's involved. Makes me very upset that you have proof that there were problems, and they won't accept it.
Yep. What did you think about the one password for everybody and the shared user accounts? I mean, how could you ever get accountability in a scenario like that? And, I mean, they never did any security upgrades after the initial installation in August of 2019. Does that, raise some flags for you?
Absolutely. It's shocking. I always felt like in Arapahoe County we had very good, well-run elections. I even was a poll watcher for John Kellner this past election, and I didn't have any doubts about how it was done in Arapahoe County. And I can't speak to the rest, but I feel like Colorado does have pretty good elections. But I do question what's being done in Maricopa County. I hope they make changes, and someone should be brought up that allowed all of this to happen.
Well, one of the auditors said that he has some distrust of the mail ballot phenomenon, and just so I get a sense, how do you feel about the mail ballot, which we saw such a huge increase in mail ballots, obviously, in the last election, 2020? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, some people say it works really, really great here in Colorado, and it's a great system, and Jenna Griswold is saying, no, can't have any audits here in Colorado, but I don't know. Do you have any concerns about the mail ballots, or maybe for whatever reason, the Secretary of State here is saying, no, you can't do audits here, and pretty heavy-handed about that?
Well, if I were running the show, it would be very transparent. I would always welcome an audit. Having been an auditor, I always welcome audits, because if there's a problem, I'd like to know about it. The point is, on the signature verification, they really couldn't test that because they only looked at one point of 27 points on signatures, if people can follow that. So they're very loose in the audit process that was done for Maricopa County, where in reality, when the signatures came back from the voters, they should have been really verified by their database that was the legitimate ballot.
It made me
wonder. The auditors didn't really have an opportunity to test that part.
Right.
And
so,
that would be eye-opening.
So they were limited in scope in terms of the signatures. That was not part of anything they could look at. And a few of the auditors said that, we could not look at the signatures, which means they weren't able to tabulate, who was voting. And, if I think I saw a number at 0.03, or maybe it was 0.003. of the ballots in Maricopa were thrown out due to a signature problem. Does that seem to you like maybe a little low, or is that about where things should be?
Well, I haven't compared it to prior elections here,
right,
but they reported it was low. Signature verification is a very important process when it comes to mail-in ballots, and I don't think that part was really audited. I'd love to have that done, and I think they're thinking about doing that, so that would be good.
That would be good. And I know before we let you go, and by the way, so honored you could check in, but if you could just 17-second clip here, Dr. Shiva talking about the duplicate ballots, and I don't know if you saw that, but apparently there were over 17,000 duplicate ballots, and here Dr. Shiva is saying this.
Versus what we have, and we're also going to see shortly, is that we're going to see that we also saw through further analysis a 25% surge of duplicates in the last 6 days between November 4th to the 9th. We also saw some very interesting...
And I don't know if you could add any commentary on that. The election is November 3rd, but between November 4th and 9th, there was an odd surge in duplicate ballots. Does that make you have a question mark or two, Nancy?
Well, they might have just been saving those ballots that needed to be duplicated until they had, until after election day. That didn't really bother me so much.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's what they really did. I'm just surmising.
Right, and they didn't say what they did because they didn't seem to have that cooperative sort of vibe with it all.
Yeah, exactly. Why the county's protesting an audit is beyond me. That's not my mentality.
Yeah, your sense was down there in Maricopa that the county officials didn't seem to be eager to make things a fluid, transparent process at all. Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. That's not how it should be. It should be very open and transparent.
Yep. And I guess we just don't get that feeling, do we? And I know
so,
I don't.
Yeah, so I wonder, what are they hiding? Why do they not want to cooperate?
Yeah, what is the impulse to the lack of transparency? Well, all right. Well, I've bent your ear long enough. And are you northern or southern Arizona?
Scottsdale.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Okay. I hope your golf game is getting good, Nancy. I'm sure.
Well, I'm working on it.
Okay. Yes. Right on. Well, hey, we miss you up here in Colorado, and let's make sure we can keep in close touch. And I send you all the best from Colorado down to Scottsdale. Nancy Doty, honored you could take a moment to check in with us again. And yeah, good luck with that backswing. Okay.
Okay.
And don't get too cold this winter. Okay. Try not to freeze down there. Okay. All right.
You.
All right, Nancy. Thank you very much for checking in. And again, Matt Dunn. I'm in for Randy Corcoran here this morning. And if you're on the phone lines, hang on. We'll be back to chat in a flash. Okay. Final segment here. Matt Dunn sitting in for Randy Corcoran this morning, and I guess I'm leaving quite a bit on the table. I did want to talk about, I guess I'm back here tomorrow for another 3 hours of saying hello on Backbone Radio 4 to 7 p.m. But Ken Burns, when he comes out and he talks about how, he says it's really serious in America right now. There are three great crises before this, the Civil War, the Depression, and World War II, and this is equal to it. Says Ken Burns, a fellow who does know something about his history, says we are in the middle of an epic crisis, an existential crisis right now in the country. I was going to talk a bit about, Ryan Call being disbarred. Interesting, not necessarily the best reflection on the history of the Republican Party in Colorado. I'm disappointed to see that, but strange that Ryan Call is a pro-Romney, never-Trumper Biden voter, I guess, nailed for embezzlement, and I guess that happened back in June, but apparently the disbarment has just happened. So kind of a bummer there. And a bunch of COVID, the healthcare worker shortage does appear to actually be happening, as your host here has been talking about what happened with the vaccine mandates. You're seeing some restrictions and lack of availability at Children's Hospital here in Denver Metro. Rural counties in Colorado worried about their health care staffing when this vaccine mandate plugs in on September 30th. And you're seeing health care worker shortages in Dallas and in Houston and in Indiana, just that I have seen. And upstate New York, they're not delivering babies. It's like kind of messing up the healthcare system. Tucker Carlson did a big segment on that last night. Anyway, a lot more items on the table here, but let's say hello. Looks like this is Gary in Denver, and hello, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, the Arizona, this audit, it really wasn't an audit. It was a verification of the count. But let me...
It seems like, it seems like that is the case, yeah.
It's a verification of the count. But let me ask you this.
Real quick, they bill it as a full forensic audit. And so
no,
I didn't get a sense that this was actually a full forensic audit. From list, their scope seemed rather limited. But anyway, I interrupted you. So, yeah, carry on.
No, I was an auditor with a Big Four firm for a long time. And, no, this was not an audit. This was a count, a recount. And I wanted to ask you a question. Let's just stipulate that, okay, let's invalidate the state of Arizona, and we're going to give Trump their electoral votes. That would not have changed the results of the election, correct?
Well, if you change it in Arizona, that does not change the overall outcome. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's just agree to that. Okay. Now, with that in mind, all of these weaknesses, which I think some of them, you know, are clearly internal control weaknesses and maybe count weaknesses. Let's say, you know, do we want to expend more resources on those things? And if so, for what purpose? Now, there's one of two purposes, is to overturn the results of the election and live in the past, or just stipulate that, yes, all of those weaknesses, in fact, occurred, and let's just change the internal controls and the counting methodology going forward and forget about, you know, going back and trying to look at overturning the election, which I think cannot be done, and just focus on using those internal control and other weaknesses to change the process and the law in every state going forward.
Well, interesting set of points, and I will say I'm a little surprised to hear you say, like, I would, you know, I visited with you before, Gary, always insightful commentary, but I'm a little surprised to hear you say that, you know, with your audit background, but you did see some weaknesses. I mean, were you able to hear quite a bit of what went on? You did have a few things that made you think, that doesn't sound good, or, you know, they really need to change that. You did have some of that reaction?
Yes, and I categorize weaknesses in one of two ways. Internal control weaknesses, such as everyone has the same password. Internal controls are put in place to prevent things from happening. And then there's another category of weaknesses are, you know, fraudulent returns or fake names. And those could actually be examined and, you know, specifically and have specific findings, like the 50,000 votes you were talking about. You could look at those and say, okay, how many of those would have been for Trump? How many of those would have been for Biden? Let's stipulate that we throw all of those out. Would that have changed the election? Well, that's a waste of time in my view, because if you change the entire state of Arizona, it doesn't change anyway. But you need to modify the way things are done in the future, given that problem, instead of looking at the past.
So you do think that things should be changed in some key areas moving forward, at least in Maricopa County, and to the extent it's applicable to other counties in the United States, you would say that you wouldn't mind seeing a few changes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. And if I recall talking, you'd be generally more disposed to, you know, not appreciate what Trump is and what he did as president, correct? But you're definitely, you know, looking at the principles here and looking at the data here, and I salute you for that. But, it, you know, does it ever, I mean, I played that Rachel Maddow montage minute. I mean, it was Russia, Russia, Russia for 4 years in the Mueller investigation, which, you know, Durham's indictment of Sussman says that, you know, it's just one more nail in the fraud that was the whole Russia thing. They did that for 4 years. I mean, would you have advised the Democrats in 2016 to not do any of this Russia stuff, which was sowing doubt on the 2016 election, the way they did it, like every single day for 4 years? I mean, would you apply that principle all directions?
Yes. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you said that, I thought, yeah, I mean, that was clearly a ratings stimulus for Rachel Maddow. But so I apply it across the board. And so what I would say to the Republicans now is, okay, just because the Democrats acted that way then, don't act that way now. Rise above that and let go of this, you know, looking backwards and, you know, do the right thing and look forwards. And then maybe you'll attract people like me, independents, who
right.
appreciate the way people think.
Well, the idea with the Russia thing was to try to weaken Trump and to have the establishment rally around what I think they knew was an obvious fraud. But, you know, their point was to keep themselves in power and deal with this outsider. But I just had somebody text the studio, and we're frankly out of time. Hard break's coming up. But someone says, ask Gary if Gary would feel the same if Trump had won. And, you know, what if Trump
yes.
had won in 2020? You'd feel the same way on that.
Absolutely. I'd feel the same way.
And the not looking back thing. But, you know, I guess we'll see where it all leads. And, you know, I'm still a bit in flux on this and processing the information I presented, some of the key highlights today. But anyway, Gary, to be continued on this. Thanks for checking in. And yeah, with an auditing background, that I tell you, that adds gravitas to what you're saying. But anyway, to be continued on all of this. I'd go more if we could, but here comes the hard break. At any rate, hey, big honor sitting in for my good buddy Randy Corcoran here the last Saturday, this Saturday, and I've got more to be saying on all of this Arizona and other things tomorrow night, 4 to 7 p.m. And is this the hard out now, or do we have, oh, we do have 60 more seconds here, so should I just bloviate for another 60 seconds? And podcasts will be up shortly in short order. You can find the podcast on the Randy Corcoran page and on the Backbone Radio page. And you might make a note that second hour with Kyle Mills, who authors the Vince Flynn books. I mean, those are some of the top bestsellers written in America, anywhere in the world right now. We got a chance to speak with Kyle Mills about the latest Mitch Rapp installment. And I think those are, you know, they're action adventure, and they highly entertaining books, but also relevant to get us thinking about the issues we're facing today. So that podcast, I thought, is kind of a little masterpiece there. As soon as that pops up, you might enjoy it. At any rate, Matt Dunn, I'm going to be signing out until tomorrow. I'll be back in here at 4 with a hot mic ready to roll. Until then.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.